Hi, and welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and in this podcast, we offer expert advice so you can have an amazing sex life. If you'd like to submit a question to be answered on future episodes, head over to pleasuremechanics.com and hit the Ask Us Anything button. While you're there, please check out our complete suite of online courses designed to help you master new erotic skills in your own home, at your own pace. And as a listener of this podcast, use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the online course of your choice. On today's episode, we're going to be answering a question submitted by a listener about something that I think we're all curious about. Charlotte's going to get us started by reading the question.
Troy says, "Hey, Pleasure Mechanics. What is your take on aphrodisiacs? I don't imagine that foods like chocolate or oysters could get my wife in the mood, but if they work, I'd give them a try. I also see herbal supplements marketed as libido boosters. Do these work? Are they safe to experiment with? Thanks, Troy."
Okay, so aphrodisiacs, we've all seen them out there. There's often talk about them. The word aphrodisiac comes from Aphrodite, the goddess of love and sexuality. And throughout history, all cultures have had foods and herbs and even things like ground up rhinoceros horn that are rumored to boost your libido, get men hard, and get women in the mood for sex. Do they work? Sadly, the answer is no, probably not, or at least not in the way that they are rumored to work.
The placebo effect has a really strong effect. And so if we believe culturally or even personally that certain herbs or foods are going to put us in the mood, that in and of itself could help create the feeling that you're getting in the mood.
And some of these foods and herbs do work with certain hormones in the body. They might be a precursor to testosterone or oxytocin, but ultimately, no plate of food or no pill is going to put someone in the mood who isn't otherwise already receptive to being excited about sex. You could serve a stressed out person a banquet of aphrodisiacs from all around the world, and it's not really going to help. But if you're in the mood for sex, if you're already primed for eroticism, then certain foods and wine and chocolate can certainly help set the stage by activating your sensuality. And that's really the key here, is what helps you get in the mood, because it's not going to come in a pill form. Sadly, if only it was that easy, we'd be out of a job.
It's also possible that some herbs in some amounts work for some people. But on a platform like this, it feels totally irresponsible to say that some herbs work in a blanket kind of way. Our chemistries are really personal, and the medications you might be on could affect things. So there's no way we should responsibly recommend any particular herb.
Well, they can also be quite dangerous.
Right, exactly.
Things like Spanish fly, which is one of the more popular aphrodisiacs that's marketed in these gas station pill packets, it's an irritant to the system. And the reason they have any effect at all is because blood rushes to the intestines and genitals because it's being irritated, and it can cause major irritation of the urinary tract and can cause a lot of complications. And if you're on doctor-prescribed medications, then playing around with herbal supplements can be detrimental to your health. And so proceed with caution. Some are neutral, some may have small effects, but ultimately I don't think it's worth your money or the frustration of experimenting with something that's not really going to work for you. But eat all the asparagus and chocolate you want. Pleasure Mechanics approved asparagus. And one of the things that's interesting is if you look at cultural aphrodisiacs, a lot of them are plants that are shaped like genitals. And so you can see thousands of years ago when people saw things like avocados, oysters, asparagus, they look like genitals, and that might make someone think that they have a genital effect.
Or rhinoceros horn.
Rhinoceros horn.
Certainly evokes hard phalluses. I mean, all of these things are perhaps poetic in their suggestions, and that's important and relevant.
And other categories of aphrodisiacs, like truffles, not chocolate truffles, but the mushroom truffles, these things are very rare. And so having them and offering them to your lover could have been a form of seduction, in that you're offering a rare, expensive treat as a token of your affection. And perhaps that's the same now as being offered a diamond. It's a symbol of your devotion and commitment. So that may have led to the aphrodisiac effect. So all of these things are meaningful and symbolic, but aren't going to trigger a high libido simply by ingesting them. There's also the category of things that are intoxicants, like alcohol and marijuana. And these things can lower your inhibitions and take your mind off everyday life, and therefore put you more in the mood for sex. Some people certainly find that a glass of wine or two, or sharing a little bit of pot with their lover, helps get them more in the mood for sex. And we think that's fine if you use it responsibly. But other drugs like ecstasy and methamphetamines may have the reputation of creating sexual highs and peaks. And they can certainly do that, but they have long-term, highly detrimental effects on your health and can ruin your sex life for a really long time if you get addicted. So please steer away from hard drugs in the name of pleasure. If you want to use a little bit of alcohol or pot, go for it. Remember that pot is illegal in some states, but remember that all they're doing is lowering your inhibitions and creating a little bit of more sensuality in your body. They're not actually doing anything long-term for your libido.
And of course, again, everyone has to find their own dosage, because too little won't do too much and too much will be detrimental. So
yes, we've all heard of whiskey dick. Meaning too much alcohol can definitely inhibit your ability to have sex successfully. And pot, just like it gives you dry mouth, can give you dry pussy. It dries up your system. And so a lot of people find that they need extra lube while on marijuana. All right. Moving PSAs. On.
Our pot PSAs.
From the pleasure mechanics.
Well, let's talk about what will create a long-term or short-term spike in interest in a fairly reliable way.
Right. What are the aphrodisiacs that actually work? What are the tools of Aphrodite? What are the things that can make you in the mood, can help improve your libido over time, and help you have better sex in the long term? Sustainable aphrodisiacs, you might say.
Clearly, the number one is always going to be paying attention to your lover. This is emotionally and physically. So you're paying attention to who they are, what they care about, listening to their conversation, asking them questions. And then when you're in the love zone, when you're in bed or touching, that you're paying attention to their flesh, you're paying attention to their skin under your skin, you're bringing all of your care, attention, devotion to their body and evoking a beautiful experience. Being thoughtful and caring, these are always going to be sustainable, long-term aphrodisiacs.
Yes, there's something very sexy about being paid attention to and feeling like you matter and are important and unique in the eyes of your lover. And this plays into the element of seduction. How do you create a spell and invite your lover into the experience of sensuality and get them in the mood for sex that you are in the mood for already? We did a huge episode on this. We really recommend you go check out episodes 74 and 75 in our podcast archive at pleasuremechanics.com. Hit podcast at the top of any page and you'll find our archive. Episodes 74 and 75 were all about how to be romantic, how to seduce and initiate, so we won't go through all of that again. Definitely check that out because it gives you really precise and practical tips to become better at the art of seduction. But this idea of how do you get someone in the mood for sex, and instead of giving them a plate of oysters, there are very simple, practical ways you can lure someone into your sexual spell. And a lot of it is about sensuality. How do we get out of our busy minds, our busy lives, and commit ourselves, give ourselves permission to spend some time in the realm of the senses?
This is such a huge and wonderful subject. Often we think about sharing a meal and wine as part of romance and part of the seduction before having sex, because it's a moment in time where two people slow down together and pay attention to their senses together in the presence of one another and opening to the senses and sensuality. And that in and of itself is, of course, a beautiful prelude to sex.
But only if you make it so. You can share the same meal, and if you're talking about the hassles of work and what you're going to do the next day, you can skip over all of the pleasures that your meal is offering you. So we encourage you, when you share any meal with your lover, to start paying more attention to the sensual pleasures at hand. Draw one another's attention. Talk about the food that you're eating. And this can be a really fun way to tune in more to the sensuality. So smell your wine before you drink it. As you eat that oyster, feel its texture in your mouth. As you bite into that delicious handmade pasta that you splurged on, talk about how tender it is and how the fragrance of the thyme is hitting you just as you bite into it, and the slipperiness of the butter or the olive oil. By doing this and by talking about it, you're sharing that sensual pleasure, and it's pulling you into the present moment. And that combination of being present in the moment, experiencing pleasure, and sharing it together can be a real turn-on, because you let other worries go. You let your to-do list slip away from your mind, and all of a sudden your attention is on one another and the pleasure you're sharing, and that can parlay beautifully into dessert, which might be one another. And this is something, I think once you're in the practice of it, it's really fun to do. And maybe we're just obsessed with food a little bit, but no matter where we are and what kind of meal we're sharing, we try to really point out pleasures to one another. And we do this in other realms too. If we're taking a walk and all of a sudden we're hit by the whiff of jasmine that we're walking by, we'll stop and point it out to each other. If we see beautiful light filtering through the leaves, we show one another the beauty we see in the world. And I think that this is a practice of becoming a more sensually aware and activated couple. And when we say the word sensuality, it's not all like softness and bunnies and rose petals and
bunnies?
You know what I mean? That like soft sensuality of like, ooh, I'm so sensual. It's about all of the pleasures. And so if that's like an adrenaline rush that you share, go for it. Whatever you find pleasurable, talk about it, share it with your partner, and bring it to life by actively experiencing it and not just being a passive receptor.
Yeah, there's so many moments in the day to appreciate our senses, and we are so focused on being in our mind in this culture that it is a practice, and a beautiful practice, and it's one that we could all take on for our entire lifetime, because anyway, I could go on about that for ages, but the point is, play with opening up your senses. It is such a world of delight and will only enhance your experience of being present in the moment and your experience of being able to feel more pleasure.
And this goes back to the placebo effect. If you believe something is actively enhancing your sexuality, it will. And it's about attention and belief and intention. But you can walk around this world actively training yourself to become more sensually aware and sexually activated, and it works. By drawing your attention to your sexuality, pleasures you're sharing with your partner, you're going to be more awake to that side of life together, and we guarantee you over time that will lead to a better sex life. So when you think about aphrodisiacs that actually work, it's really up to you to think about life and sensuality and all pleasure being an aphrodisiac that's fueling your sexuality and your appetite for pleasures of all kinds.
It's really about the entire world or the pleasurable aspects of world being, I want to say being your lover, like that you are in communion. You're letting the world wake up your sensuality, and that your lover is not the only person that is waking up your pleasure and your sensuality, that the world and the glories that it offers us are part of that as well.
Yeah, you can't walk around in the world dead to pleasure and then expect on a Friday night all of a sudden to become a sex god. You need to live that lifestyle 24/7, and this doesn't mean walking around jizzing all over the place or walking around being like, oh, the glory of everything 24/7. It means being aware, giving yourself permission to feel pleasure when it hits you and really take it in and let it become part of you. And it means actively talking about pleasure and sharing pleasure with your partner in realms way beyond the bedroom. Because then when you get the opportunity to have sex, you're already primed. Just like a pump needs a bit of a priming before it can spurt water. I'm gonna roll today. You need to prime your pump of pleasure, and you can do that through the pleasures of everyday life. And then certainly when you're on a date together, choose activities you find pleasurable and then actively take them in, and that gets your hormones going, it gets your body in the mood, it gets your mindset in the right place, and lo and behold, you'll be much more likely to be in the mood for sex. So instead of spending $20 on libido-enhancing pills, spend $20 on what you find pleasurable in the world and really soak it in. And this can be a bouquet of flowers that sits on your table all week and tells your wife that she is worthy of pleasure and you want to give her this symbol of beauty. And every time you look at those flowers, you're really enjoying them. Or it can be tickets to the roller coaster. That's up to you.
Right. But flowers have always been traditional because they're just waking us up to beauty.
And they're plant genitals.
Whoa.
As is fruit.
That's awesome.
Enjoying the genitals of the natural world. Wow, this episode is really going...
not where I expected.
All over the place. But what's our point here? Aphrodisiacs, tools of Aphrodite, tools to get you in the mood for sex. You need to figure out what works for you and then give yourself permission to include them in your life, pay attention to them, and actively share them with your partner.
Amen.
All right.
Scent has always been a part of that. People are, throughout time, have been aware of the evocative nature of scent. And we know that they evoke memories, they create...
And so much of scent is plant jizz.
You just really wanted to...
The essential oils of plants and even musk from animals.
That's true.
Sorry. But it's true. We are anointing ourselves with the fecund oils of the natural world and using that to lure and seduce and make ourselves feel more beautiful.
Whew.
And one of the things some people do is use a particular scent every time they have sex. And so that particular smell evokes the memory of good sex, because smell is very linked to our memory in our brains. And so maybe you should try that. Get a particular scent and wear it when you're in the mood for sex, and only then, and use it to signal to your partner that you are ripe and ready.
And to yourself, so that it helps you get in the mood more quickly. I would say if you can, use oils that are natural, because a lot of perfume is actually really chemical and it's not going to have the same effect on the body. So if you can find essential oils and blends, and Good Clean Love, our favorite lube company, also creates love scents, they call them, with this intention. But there are a variety of places and ways you can play with that. And this will work incredibly for some people and not so much for other people. So experiment, play with it. But scent is an amazing aspect of sensuality that is often left behind, I think.
And another sense is the sense of touch. And if you can't jump right into sex, we of course recommend using massage to activate your sense of touch and the pleasure of touch and the intimacy of touch, and use that as a bridge between your hectic, chaotic everyday life and the pleasure zone of making love.
The pleasure zone.
The pleasure zone. So all of your senses count. And of course, visual seduction is part of being seductive and luring your partner in and whatever that looks like to you. And we talk about that in episode 75.
Beyond sensuality, another tool of Aphrodite, are the elements of tease and anticipation. We all love that feeling of when there is something that you want. You may know that more out of the bedroom than in the bedroom, but there is this longing, this desire that then gets to be built. Creating the experience of anticipation is a real art, and some people play with it well, others not so much, and it's something that you can cultivate. Whether that's having an invitation that you offer your lover and partner and then make them wait and then fulfill it later, or create experiences for yourself that you're excited to anticipate. It's an element that can be really fun to play with in a thoughtful way to create more of a charge in our sexuality.
Right, and it can be long-term anticipation, sending your lover texts all week saying, I can't wait for our weekend together, I'm going to give you something you won't forget. Or it can be short-term anticipation, just starting at the beginning of your date night and start building up the desire for what's going to happen later that night. It's all about creating desire and then withholding a little bit in order to build that longing, which then makes the experience all the sweeter. And that is an aphrodisiac that you cannot go wrong with.
There's so much more to say about this.
For more on erotic tease, check out episode 55, where we go in depth on the erotic game of tease and denial. It's a good game that a lot of people get really big thrills out of. So we've been exploring the tools of Aphrodite, the true aphrodisiacs that can help you get in the mood for sex. And I think what's important here is to remember that first and foremost, you are responsible for getting yourself in the mood for sex. You own your sexuality. It is yours. No one else can activate it for you. You have to be receptive and open to being sexual, to being pleasured, to experiencing all of the sensual thrills of sex. And anything you can do to cultivate your ability to feel more pleasure in the world will help you there. So take charge of your own sexuality, and you can boost your own libido better than anyone else can, and certainly better than any food or pill will be able to. And then in relationship with someone else, you really need to activate these tools of seduction, of tease, of creating pleasurable experiences together to cultivate a kind of relationship where great sex is more likely to happen. And that doesn't rely on any external aphrodisiacs. It's really a skill that you cultivate yourself. Become a prodigy of Aphrodite and learn how to cultivate more sensual pleasure in your own life, and you'll find you'll have a better sex life down the road. And when you are ready to master new erotic skills so you can create the maximum amount of pleasure for yourself and your lover, come on over to pleasuremechanics.com and explore our online courses. They are designed as a multimedia experience for you to do in your own home at your own pace, and will give you the confidence and mastery over erotic skills so you can take your lover on an extraordinary journey. As a listener of this podcast, use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the online course of your choice. And have fun exploring how to become a more masterful lover. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.